Okay, grab your Bibles, and let's open up to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, and we're continuing on with giving as an act of worship, and this week's is called Rainbows to Remember. Rainbows to Remember. I know I've said it before, but isn't it just like the devil to take something that's a symbol of God's faithfulness, a symbol of God's grace and his mercy, and try to twist it? It's what he tried to do with music, right? Music has always been an act of worship before the Lord, right? And so what did the devil do? The first thing he did is he twisted the music. But I love the fact that a lot of the old hymns came from barroom songs, that they just changed the lyrics to be a worship song instead of a barroom song. I just love that. You know why? The devil tried to steal, and God said, no, we'll take that right back. Thank you very much. And so these catchy barroom songs that people grew up hearing, right, ended up being worship songs. So it was so easy for them to just follow along into the worship song. Amen? So Genesis 8, verse 20, you know the story that they have been they've been on the ark, Noah and his family. I have to tell you this really cool thing. So I remember when Luke was little. Do you remember this, Luke? And one of the teachers was talking about the ark, and she said, does anybody know how many animals came on Moses' ark? And Luke raised his hand. And he said, none. And she said, what? And he goes, it wasn't Moses's, it was Noah's. I love that, right? Out of the mouths of babes. There you go. So we're talking about Noah's ark. So it says, this is after that they have been in the ark for many, many days. And they're now coming out. And everything is out of the ark. And this is the first thing that they did out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And when you look back, it doesn't say that the Lord required him to do this. So what was this? An act of worship. They just got out of this ark. Now you can paint it as pretty as you want on a wall. But inside, after all those days, it had to stink. It had to smell, right? Even if you just take away all the duties that they do, even if you just take that smell away, just the smell of all those animals and birds and reptiles all in one place, right? And they're finally out, and there's no more rocking. Anybody ever been on a boat before and you like, there's that constant movement, so when you finally hit solid ground, it's like you feel like, whoa, what's going on? It's a weird sensation, right? That you're not moving anymore. And I think that they were so grateful, not just to be saved, but to be out of the ark. Amen? So grateful. The first thing that he did is he built an altar to the Lord. And he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And in verse 21 it says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then he said in his heart, I will never again, say never again, curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And you continue on, and he's making a covenant. Say covenant. He's making a covenant with Noah and for generations to come. And then it says in verse 12 of chapter 9, and this is the sign of the covenant. God always gives a sign of the covenant. Amen? It's like his signature. When you sign a contract, when you have a contract between two people, what do? You sign it, right? So he's giving a sign of his covenant or a sign of his contract. And this is what it says. And this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. We don't say that word anymore. Perpetual. Do you know what that means? It goes on and on and on and on and on. Is there an end to perpetual? No, there is no end. And it shall be, perpetual generations. Verse 13, I set my rainbow, somebody say rainbow, in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. I will remember my covenant. So our giving is an act of worship. And a lot of times what happens when you bring your gift as an act of worship like Noah did, the Lord says to him, hey, I receive this, and I'm making a sign between you and me. I'm signing a covenant between you and me. And what is part of the covenant here? That even though that men, even from their youth, have evil thoughts, he was saying, I will never again flood the earth. I will never again wipe it out with water. Never again. I will not destroy all men ever again. This is the epitome of grace. Because what God is saying is that even though I'm sending you a sign, I know the hearts of men. So he knew eventually one day an entire group would take his symbol of his covenant. The reason why he put that covenant there was so that he wouldn't wipe out men anymore. Because why? Because they had gone evil, right? You can read back on the account of Noah's time, and there was such evilness, and there was such awfulness toward God that he wiped out the entire earth except for Noah and his family. Well, I think we might have reached that again. And aren't you grateful for the rainbow? So the rainbow appears to him as a remembrance. Say remembrance. And sometimes we need to remember. We need to remember what the Lord has done for us and the covenant that we have. When you come out of a season where it feels like you've been in an ark and you're so grateful for the ark, amen? You're so grateful for the ark, but God has more than the ark for you. He has a plan, and it's to give you a new, fresh place to be, amen? So we're grateful for the ark, but we are so grateful when we get into that place that God has for us. In these last days, he has a place for us to be. That means a job. That means a place to live. That means a sphere of people to be around. He has a place for you to be. Amen? And when we get to that place, we need to stop first and be grateful. We need to be grateful. That was his first action. He gets off the boat and he builds an altar to the Lord. Not a house for himself. Not, you know, whatever, this or that. He stops. He doesn't take count of the animals. He stops and he builds an altar to the Lord. And he says, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for blessing me, for taking care of me and my family during this time. But hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for dry ground again. Thank you, Lord, for this place that you have brought me to. It's so important that we have hearts of gratitude, and that's what worship is, right? Worship is a result. It just is a flow from you when you are so grateful. You can't help but raise your hands and praise. Amen? It just is an overflow of our hearts to say, thank you, Father. And what does it say it was to the Lord? A soothing aroma. You mean we can soothe him? What an amazing concept, right? That our worship, our giving, for them, giving was the offering that was on the altar, right? But when we bring in our tithes and our offerings to him with hearts that are grateful in worship, we can actually soothe his heart. That's an amazing concept to think about. Soothe his heart, so much so that he responds to us by saying, I have a covenant with you. What is our covenant? The word, the Bible. That is our covenant with him, right? He has the rainbow to remind him. He gave us the word of God to remind us of our covenants. Amen? And what does he say? He's faithful to all his promises. Say faithful. To all. There's that little word again. All his promises. Amen? So whatever the promise is for you in the word, you can hold on to that. The promise to Noah and his family was he was going to take them safely through this time. Guess what? It doesn't matter what's going on around the world. You and your family have an Ark of the Covenant. An Ark of the Covenant. What is that? That is the promise of his faithfulness to you. That doesn't matter what the time is that you're going through. He can take you through that time. Yeah, it might be a little crowded. Yeah, it might be a little stinky. Yeah, it may feel like, well, really, Lord? But he's carrying you through that season to bring you what? Into a new place. A new place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, thank you so much. Rainbows to remind us to remember. Rainbows of remembrance. Father, I just pray right now for every person in this room that you would bring up in their thoughts and their minds things that you have done. Right now, Lord. Help them to see. Help them to get a picture, whether it was financially or spiritually or physically or in their families or in their jobs, God. I pray you would help them to remember right now things that you have done. And Father, I pray that as we move forward in you, that those times of remembrance would be often, that we would remember where we came from and where we are now, and that our offerings would be an act of worship unto you, and that you would smell those offerings, Father, and that they would bring a soothing aroma to you, because we're coming with hearts of worship, saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for all you've provided. From the greatest things to the smallest things, Father, I pray for a heart of thanksgiving to rest on this church. That we would be so grateful, Father, that even when we're at home, that our thankfulness would come as a soothing aroma unto you. That you would look down and go, ah, thank you. Thank you for the soothing aroma that you've given me today. I pray, Father, that we would be so grateful, God, as we remember. And I thank you, Lord, once again for the rainbow that doesn't stand for something alternative. It stands for the grace of God that will not be wiped out again because of the evil thoughts of men. I thank you, Lord, for that grace. Not just over our nation, but over our world, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for a call to repentance on this nation, Father, and on the world. I praise you, Father, that what the enemy has meant for harm, what he meant to destroy, that just like the old hymns, God, you're turning this around and people are going to start seeing the rainbow as, again, a reminder of the grace of God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory today for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Well, we'll pray and get right into today's message. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to each one of us today. We thank you for your presence that's here with us every week where two or more are gathered together. There you are in our midst. We receive your healing, your deliverance, your freedom. I heard you say this morning while we were unloading the truck, or the van, maybe that's a prophecy, a truck. I heard you say, Lord, while we were unloading, you said, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Somebody say, I receive your thoughts, Lord God. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are higher than my ways. I lay aside and take captive every thought that does not glorify God. In every area of my life, I lay aside thoughts that tear myself down or focus on negativity, and I receive the thoughts of faith and victory and the blessing of God manifesting an expectation of a marvelous move of God, not just here, but around the world. We celebrate it. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, I receive your thoughts, Lord. Amen. Well, last week I got to correct something I said in last week's service. I had a math mistake, which is not unusual for me. We were talking about, you know, today the day is to the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And that, you know, based on the Jewish calendar, we're about 214 years from the 6,000th completion of the 6,000th year. So, you know, and did my math, you know, and all that. And I said, well, in God time, that's about 5 years, right? Well, no, actually, I did it. I double checked. It's about 5 hours God time. So we were talking about, you know, that scripture that says about 8 days in, you know, and, you know, talking about we've ministered on, you know, the seasons of the Lord, the celebrations of Feast of Tabernacles and what, Day of Atonement and Feast of Trumpets. Well, trumpets, the rapture, second coming, and the city coming down out of heaven, right? So when it says about 8,000 years, you know, that we can back that up to the rapture happening, because that's really what he says, no one knows the time or the day. You'll know the season, right? So to God, we could say from our perspective, 214 years, man. Eat, drink, and be merry, right? Let's party. Who cares? Some people are saying that right now. Who cares? Somebody say, I'm looking for it, right? Because to God, it's about 5 hours. He could just say, you know what? The Father could just look over at Gabriel and Michael, Jesus, just say, you know what? Close enough. I declare now it starts. And the rapture happens, right? So the point is, be ready. Somebody say, let's be ready for the trumpet to sound and be, literally, be the, somebody say, I'm going to be the trumpet. I'm going to be the trumpet. I'm going to sound that alarm and preach the gospel and sow financially and prayers and so forth into ministries and ministers that are preaching the gospel, right? So many people criticize ministries that we partner with. Some of them have their own ministry jets, and people will criticize that. Well, come on, a rapper has his personal jet. Professional athlete, some of them have a personal jet, right? Phil Knight, you can drive right now over to Hillsborough if he's here. And drive, if you've ever seen it, you drive right across to Hillsborough Airport, and they have this glass hangar, Nike. Two, like at least there's two, I think, sitting right there. So if Kenneth Copeland, right, Creflo, Nancy Dufresne, Jesse Duplantis, are using that jet, and their partners are sowing money so they can get them anywhere in the world. Amen. And if there's something we have noticed in these past few years is that somebody can get involved and just shut it all down at any notice. I mean, I was told this past week I wanted to fly to Massachusetts to see my friend Chris get married, but I was told you can't because your driver's license is not acceptable right now. You have to get this, what do they call it? There's a term for it. They have an embellished driver's license. It's weird, right? And in these ministries, there's places they go around the world that Delta isn't going to go. And what if God says, I want you in China tomorrow? Right? So there's all these great things. But the prosperity of God, the blessing of God. So sowing into ministers and ministries, whoever they are, whatever they're doing, whether it's a pastor. I know I'm called to be a pastor because I like being home. Right? We all sow into evangelism and, you know, prophets and all these kind of things. They're ministers that are traveling ministers, right? And so the jet really is their building. But then some of them also have churches on their campuses and all these kind of things, which is amazing, right? But we just got to not be critical of ministries and ministers because they have it's like I heard Keith Moore say, well, why don't you take the bus then? If you don't want me flying in a jet, why do you have two cars? What? You know what I'm saying? So we just rejoice in it all and we sow into it. Why? Because about 5 hours, we need this gospel getting around the world. Amen? And so when we see, like in our facility here, we prayed about growth and all that kind of thing. I think it's important to ask ourselves, why? Why are we believing God for growth? So we have no elbow room, so there's just it's a full room of people, and that's nice. But why? Because we want people coming to Jesus, right? We want to see the kingdom of God growing. Amen? And watch people come to Christ, get saved, get delivered, get healed. Amen? There's been some of these crazy protests in the past few days, where I've heard in Portland, naked bike rides and all to protest ICE, all that kind of thing. We should pray for ICE right now. Yeah. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we stretch our hands toward Portland right now, and we say, Satan, your kingdom is falling. You do not have dominion in the city of Portland or up to Seattle or down to LA, Sacramento, all these blue, so-called blue cities. We take authority in the name and by the blood of Jesus. We declare the peace of God, the protection of God around ICE agents and law enforcement and military. And we bind the spirit of lawlessness in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Law and order will be restored in this nation. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. And now we come to today's message, which I'm excited about. This really was brought up in my heart with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and really the martyr. He was martyred for his faith in God and his love for this country. I'm going to try to scoot over here so I can see all of you. Here we go. And he is a national hero. He laid down his life, literally. His blood was shed for his love for God in this country. I mean, no question about it, right? And one of the most powerful things I can remember in years and years and years and years was his wife, Erica, on the day of the memorial service, getting up there and saying about the assassin, "I forgive him." And just that swept literally across the world. And you had people testifying that they forgave ex-spouses and even celebrities. Tim Allen posted that when he heard that, he said, "For the first time ever, I was able to forgive the man that killed my dad." Remarkable. Supernatural. Amen? And so this message, you know, in the next few weeks, I believe, is going to be titled Forgiveness. Right? But what really stirred this up in me, even more so, was I was doing a service at a gentleman's house, a veteran. He was served in, I think, a Marine, I believe, in Vietnam. Saw combat. By the way, if I love Andrew Womack's broadcasts. In this past couple weeks, or at least this past week, he's been ministering on some similar topics as this. But he's been sharing stories of his experience in Vietnam and how, you know, talking about being sensitive to God and not getting hard-hearted to the Lord and all these kind of things. But just amazing testimonies. He's another great ministry to check out. Amen. Andrew Womack. But this gentleman was telling me just, and he's a believer, and he knows I'm a believer, and we're just talking, and he starts sharing. He's like, "You know, I just don't get it." He's like, "I appreciate," I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he's like, "I appreciate that she got up there and said, 'I forgive you.'" But he said, "I hope that evil people out there don't take that as an invitation to just come to our churches and kill people because we'll just forgive you." And he said, "Really, can anybody forgive that type of thing other than God himself?" He was almost questioning what she said, but in a sensitive way. And we were talking about this. And I was like, "Well, brother, Matthew 6. That's our foundation text. Why don't we look at it right now?" Amen? Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you. This is actually the Lord's Prayer. And I use this prayer pretty much every day as an outline. I was taught by Larry Lee back in the 80s. Another great thing to search on. It's so great, some of the things you can find online. I was listening to Norval Hayes yesterday, and you just find these people that are in heaven now, and you can still hear them speaking, you know? But, in fact, that's one of the things he says a lot, you know, Norval Hayes. But Larry Lee taught me back in the 80s when I was in high school. There you go. There, you can just figure it out how old I might be, 54. But using the Lord's Prayer as an outline. And I won't go into that at this moment. I've taught on this before. But Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15, but specifically I'm going to back it up to verse 9 today. And it says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven.'" Somebody say, "God's my Father." I was having a coffee with a Catholic brother the other day, and he struggled with that a little bit. Because we were talking about faith and even the Charlie Kirk thing and all that. He's conservative, but he's told me before, "You're not going to convert me, Steve. Don't even try." and he has some colorful language. But he's a believer, right? He has faith. He loves God. But his point was, Father seems a little too comfortable to me with God. He's like, it's more creator, creation, right? In his mindset, right? Somebody say, God's my Father. Now, what I can learn from a Catholic brother is some Christians do take, I believe, their relationship with God way too casually. Where the Catholic folks are very respectful. We can learn from this. How many know we can have both? We can be very respectful to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Glory to God. So somebody say, he's Dad, he's Father, but he's also Judge. He is God, right? Amen. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And here we go, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Somebody say that. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So there you go. And that's the scripture I shared with my brother that day. I said, well, sir, it's really both. Right? You have to forgive. But yeah, you're right. God has to forgive the sin. In other words, just because I forgave you for hurting me, I do that to get myself free. But if a person doesn't repent, then they're still before God. It's between them and God at that point. In other words, yeah, I don't have the ability to forgive them of that sin. I have the ability to forgive them for what they did to me. But if they're still on the wrong side of God, then that's between them and God. So it's really, somebody say it's really both, right? And I also share with him that what Erica was saying that day was not in any way, if you know that ministry, Turning Point, not in any way saying, come on over and just keep shooting at us. No, 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 not at all, not at all. Somebody say Christians have the right to bear arms. Amen. Now, our first level of defense is praying in the Holy Ghost, like we did today, praying in the Spirit. But we have to be constantly in the Spirit all day, every day, because there are devils out there stealing, killing, and destroying. And he has representatives out there stealing, killing, and destroying. So we need to be praying in the Holy Ghost all day, every day, and be listening and acting accordingly. If he says, don't drive that way. If he says, don't get out of your car right now. If he says, don't get on that airplane. If he says, do this. We need to be very, very attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in every area of our life. Amen. Glory to God. So somebody say it's both. We need to forgive, but yes, it's true. He is the judge. And we're going to be looking at some of these kind of nuances of forgiveness in the next few weeks, right? But I had never, and like I said, I've used this prayer as an outline for so long, and I've never seen or this connection here before, but look at this. The next verse, because in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if I'm hanging on to unforgiveness, it's probably more likely I'll be led into temptation, and I won't be delivered from evil. Now, those are two good reasons. Somebody say, those are two good reasons to forgive. To not hold offenses toward people. Even if they deserve it in your own heart. Let's just say it out loud. I forgive. Amen. There's victory in forgiveness. And then it continues. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Somebody say, be in the habit of forgiveness, forgiving people. That's why I couldn't find any images that had forgiveness and a rapidy river in the same image. So I made this myself. Because that's, to me, is a good illustration of what forgiveness is. It's a flow. Amen? In pest control, people who have dangerous mosquito issues are ones that have like the, what is it, there's a virus that they spread. Sam, what is it? malaria, something like that. There's different types of viruses that mosquitoes can spread through bites, and it's generally people that live close to stagnant water. Water that's just dead, right? So somebody say, stay next to the living water. Water that's flowing and gushing, avoiding taking boulders and damming up the water because we're not forgiving people in our lives will cause death, will cause issues, will cause spiritual decay and disease. And then we'll walk around like we're Christians, but we're mean. How many know mean Christian ought to be is an oxymoron? Judgmental, mean, ornery, right? Christian. That should not happen anywhere. I was doing a funeral a couple of years ago at a really beautiful church. Beautiful church. And there was a couple people there that were like the pastor, and it might have been his wife, I don't know. But they had semi-retired. And she had this, like, I've been sucking lemons all day look on her face. Right? And the son of the deceased is up, and he is like public speaking to a lot of people. They'd rather face death, right? They'd rather die themselves than speak in public. Well, this is that was this man's situation. He was not happy to have to share in public, and on top of it, all the emotion about sharing his mother, you know, his love for his mom, and he's just kind of breaking up. Well, this lady comes up to the front, and she says, "We can't hear you." And he like stops, and she's just got this scowl. "We can't hear you. Speak louder." She's supposed to be the pastor's wife, I believe, or some leader in the church. She's never met this guy in her life. He's grieving for his mother, and she's up there being an ornery, lemon-faced, mean Christian. Unbelievable, right? So somebody say, I can't be an ornery, lemon-faced, holding on to offenses, mean Christian. We have to stay, keep the living water flowing, right? And I think, but Andrew Wombeck said this past week, he said, you know what I do every single day to keep my heart sensitive to God is he named the date that he got saved. He said, I remember that date every single day of my life, and I thank God for it, and it helps keep my heart tender before God. Because sometimes you start serving God, and then somebody comes in, it looks like they've got issues, and judgmental. We can't do that. Because it's the same blood that's gushing from the veins of Jesus that will cleanse and forgive someone else that's done the same for me. And it, may I say, is still doing the same for me. Amen. I remember the day I was sitting in, I want to say, I don't remember the exact dates, but it was in the summertime. I want to say it was 87. And I was sitting in my youth pastor's backyard sipping some lemonade in a chair just like that. Maybe it might have been metal. And waiting for the meeting to start. Probably a group of chairs about this section big, where he's opened his house. And praise God for people that open their lives. You know, the man's in heaven now. His name's Marty Knight. He's in heaven. And I thank God for him often. You know, we can send messages to people in heaven, you know. You don't talk to saints. You don't pray to saints. But you can say, Father God, would you please give Pastor Marty a big hug for me? And let him know. Right? Let him know I'm still going. Because of him. Right? Yeah. And I'm sitting there sipping a cup of lemonade or Kool-Aid. Remember Kool-Aid? Just pour sugar in a cup and stir it, basically. And some food coloring. And whatever color it is, that's what the flavor is, right? It was red. Like the blood. It was red like the blood. Cherry, maybe. And the Lord spoke to me, a little white Dixie cup. Remember those white foamy Dixie cups? And the Lord spoke in my heart, and he said, just because your mom is saved doesn't mean you are. Ooh. I don't think I took another breath before I said, Jesus, save me too. right? And from that moment on began a process. It's like I had an instant revelation. He said, okay, that means you're my son now. And I began to get corrected on a lot of things in my life. And the Lord began to guide me and direct me and coach me along and deliver me. I remember relatively soon after that, I had a dream. The Lord has really ministered to me in dreams before. And, you know, it's not what we live for, but when he needs to show you something in a dream, he'll show you if he does, right? And I had a dream that this blob thing was on my shoulders. I could feel its slimy feet on my shoulders, and it had its arms wrapped around my head. And I just felt this terror, like, what in the world, right? And I was kind of that half asleep, half awake feeling. And all of a sudden, this bright light came on. And like a vacuum cleaner sound, and air, and I felt the thing even grab me tighter, like I am not letting go of this kid's head, right? And I felt his feet kind of come off, and he was kind of flapping around on my back, and then his arms broke off, right? And it was like I said, it was like a suction. And I woke up, and I knew I had been delivered of something in my thinking. I thank God for these things every day. Something I'd been doing in my life that Jesus needed to deliver me of. Forgiveness. Freedom. Glory to God. So every time I want to hold something against somebody else or get offended at somebody, I try to come back to that. Those moments in my life where, like, Jesus, you saved me, you'll save them too. And I have no right to hold anything against those people because of what you did in my own life. And what you still continue to do, by the way. Somebody say, stay in the flow of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Amen. Forgive us our debts. The Amplified, verse 12 specifically, is our foundation text. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the Amplified says this, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. And that's one of the definitions of forgive, is let it go. Somebody just say, let it go. Right? It means like it's erased. And God has the ability literally even to erase it from your own memory. Both the sin that you committed or the sin someone committed against you, because we're talking about, again, these different aspects of forgiveness, right? He has the ability, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to literally erase it, right? In fact, the Word of God says that God's not going to remember our sins ever. Once we come to Him and confess and receive our forgiveness and cleansing, it's not on His mind. Completely, somebody say, completely forgotten. Amen. Glory to God. And so there's another definition talks about not talking about it, not talking about it, not talking about it. That's why once you've been forgiven of something, you might remember that experience of being forgiven, but you don't go into dwelling on the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. Like an alcoholic, so to speak, that says that you should always say you're an alcoholic. No, I disagree with that. I think once you get cleansed by the blood, once you confess to Jesus that sin, you might need some help. Some guidance through it, but don't ever say again, I'm an alcoholic. Right? No, you say, I was. He saved a wretch like me. I once was, fill in the blank. But now, somebody say, but now. And that's what I hear the Lord telling me often when I start feeling bad about something. He'll say, yeah, but what about now? What about now? That's what I love about Billy Burke's ministry. Have you ever seen Billy Burke, the evangelist and healing people? And people will come up just going on and on and on and on and on about the pain and what's going on in their body. And he'll just sit there, listen to them. And he's like, well, how do you feel right now? Oh, it just goes on my back and this and that. And he'll just listen. Okay, but how's the pain now? And they'll be like, it's gone. I'm healed. Somebody say, don't come to your Heavenly Father and just go on and on and on and on and on about the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad, how I failed, I flopped, or whatever, or so-and-so offended me. Somebody just say, come and unload it and be free of it. Amen. And I really believe our ability to walk, you know, with the revelation of how forgiven we are personally correlates directly with how quickly we forgive others. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at a couple Bible verses here. With this, I don't think we're going to get through this whole outline today. So let's look at Mark chapter 11, though. Let's talk about one thing that forgiveness is not. Mark chapter 11. Let's follow Jesus around. How many is a good idea to follow Jesus around, right? Mark chapter 11. And, you know, Jesus, some people will say, he's just so passive and just, you know, the little lamb. No, how many know he's coming back as the lion? And even in his life, there was just a few hours, really, where he was the lamb, where he had to surrender his life, right? But this is a great story. Mark 11, verses 12 through 26. The next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Who was hungry? Jesus, right? The other day when my sons, they went to see the American League Conference Series, the ALCS, in Seattle. Oh, what a joy it is. This may be a side note, but oh, what a joy it is to know for the first time ever that today the Mariners could clinch the pennant. What time is it? Just kidding. But they were coming home at really late at night, and they thought, you know what? Let's check and see if In-N-Out Burger's still open. They were hungry, right? Amen. Well, Jesus, sometimes we forget, we try to just make Jesus this like super spiritual. No, Jesus was a man, right? He was hungry, right? They came out of Bethany. He was hungry. Seeing from far off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Oh, but shouldn't Jesus just forgive the tree? Shouldn't he just have some compassion? Maybe he should water the tree. Maybe he should exercise a little patience with the tree. Somebody say, forgiveness doesn't mean you don't just, the word just doesn't come out of your mouth. No, you follow what the Holy Ghost is telling you to say, what the Father's telling you to say. But forgiveness just doesn't mean you're a nice, peaceful, like passive. Never say anything that could come across misunderstood. Just be a sweet little quiet. That's not who, you don't crucify somebody like that. Right? And his disciples heard it. Now, I know he didn't use cuss words, but he cursed that tree. That tree. He didn't say to all the trees, but to that tree. Right? Now, so he's already hungry, maybe a little edgy. And he gets to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and noticed a bunch of trash going on in the temple, in his father's house, right? Oh, and he just pulled up a chair and had a silent time of prayer and decided, well, it must be a fast day. Let's just fast and pray and be quiet and not say anything and just, you know, smile at people. No! Right? He began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, overturn their tables. Now, people are making notes. They're getting ready to send emails. They're calling their representatives about this Jesus guy. Right? He is in the temple, turning tables over, taking charge. Amen? And the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares to the temple. Well, how mean, how impatient, how rude, how unkind. Where's the tolerance? Ever heard that one before? Where's the acts of kindness? Somebody say, this is the Jesus that you serve. So in other words, walking in forgiveness doesn't mean you just take anything the devil wants. You're not the devil's doormat. You are not the devil's doormat to come wipe his feet on, spit on you. There might be people that you have to choose to forgive, but it doesn't mean they're welcome back in your life. When Erica forgave the assassin, it didn't mean she wanted him released from prison. He still has to pay the price for what he did. But before God, he could still get saved. But see, what she did was she released herself and, man, countless other people by saying those words. But simultaneously, they were having, if you didn't notice that day of that service, they were having a meeting that a lot of people were offended about. How dare you get together, you Christian nationalists, and talk about such things in a football stadium? How rude of you, how unkind, where's your tolerance? Oh, no, there are things we will not tolerate from the devil. We can not tolerate the devil's trash and yet still walk in the truth of God and not harbor things against people. Amen? Then he taught those, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. I shared with you, I was in a business meeting, and I talked about Charlie Kirk in one of the meetings, about 20, 30 business people that we come and share business leads and referrals. And it was just on me. I was like, I got to say something about this, because the whole point of it is we're not going to be quiet. That was the whole point of that assassination and that martyrdom, was shut up. Stop saying what you're saying. Stop spreading the truth. Stop questioning issues in the world and transgenderism and all this crazy stuff. See, critical race theory. Stop making kids think for themselves. Right? So I went to this meeting, and my gut, I just knew the same feeling, like if I got a prophetic word, I'm going to share something, and it's not going to be long. So I just shared, said, you know, guys, I just want to dedicate my time here today on behalf of Charlie Kirk and the sacrifice he made for millions of people just like me who believe and faith, family, and freedom. And I said, the man took a bullet for me, and it changed me forever. Thank you very much. And there were people in that room, not all of them, but probably maybe 20%, emails, complaints. I heard back. Unbelievable. One guy still to this day won't even look me in the eye. And he served in the Navy, veteran, put his life on the line, so I had the right to say that. How many of you, just because somebody's a veteran doesn't mean they love this country, right? Now, we pray for them and we honor them, but we gotta stay on track with Jesus, and don't expect everybody to love you for it, right? So Jesus is having a set you straight meeting right here with people. But not everybody wants to be set straight, including people in high places of leadership and authority that have control over other people's lives. They want the control. They want the power. And it's a creepy thing. Did you hear President Trump, what was it, last week when he was in Israel, when they were releasing the hostages? Praise God, by the way. And there was a man in Israel who was in like the whatever the Israel parliament is, and he began protesting loudly right in President Trump's face, and they had to physically remove the man. A man in Israel's leadership that hates Israel. Did you know we have people in the U.S. Congress, in governor seats, in Olympia, in Sacramento, in Salem, who hate this country? Hate the family, hate children, hate Christianity, hate that we're sitting here talking about this right now. Guess what we're going to do? We're not going to shut up. We're not going to be silent. We're not going to zip our lip. We're going to be louder and shine brighter, because that's the Jesus on the inside of you, because it's going to help someone else get set free. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And I love President Trump when they, you could hear it going on. I was listening to it. I wasn't watching it. So it got quiet again, and the guy's like, "We're sorry, Mr. President." And he goes, "That was efficient. Thank you." And he just continued on. Somebody say, you can be respectful, but not tolerant of the devil's trash and his lies. What are we talking about here? We're talking about what forgiveness is not in this particular portion, right? The scribes and the chief priests heard what Jesus did, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. He was making a difference. He was reaching people. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, right? Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree, which you cursed, has withered away." And Jesus answered and said, remember, he just had this confrontation. That's the word. Confrontation. Christians shouldn't cower from confrontation. We're not looking for it. Not creating it. But we also don't back down from it. I told a friend this past week who was getting married, and he was concerned about his unsaved family member inviting them, because he's like, "Man, Steve, they might be speaking in tongues over us and praying over us." I was like, "Brother, stop. We have to get over this 'we care about what you think' thing. Have you noticed the world doesn't care about what anybody thinks anymore? So why should you care? Be you, brother, be you." That might just be exactly what they need to hear in that moment. Somebody say, be you. Shine for Jesus. Don't cower from confrontation. Oh, I get so uncomfortable with confrontation. You can't be a Christian and not expect some kind of confrontation from time to time. But guess what? You have the comforter on the inside of you. But he's also the confronter. When I go on pest control jobs, I use a flashlight. And you know what a flashlight does? Confront. Roaches, hello! And they scatter. They don't like the light. A lot of the nastiest bugs hate light. Connection? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Glory to God. So Peter says, "You cursed the fig tree and it withered away." Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Somebody say, "Have faith in God." "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed.'" Now I want you to notice something too. Does Jesus say anything anywhere here that he apologized to anyone for what happened at the temple? Did he apologize? Oh, he saw the tree withered. Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't watch what came out of my mouth. No. He said what he said and he meant it. This brother in this meeting, some of the people that want to confront you are cowardly about it. They won't come talk to you face to face. You'll hear about it from an email or from a phone call from someone else. Cowardly. And this man was demanding an apology from me. And my response to the gentleman that was telling me this over the phone, who actually loves us, by the way, I said, "There will be no apology. I have nothing to add or subtract from what I said. Thank you." So forgiveness, walking in forgiveness, doesn't mean you're always saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Somebody say, get over the "I'm sorry" stuff. Look up the word "sorry." Change it to "I apologize." Sorry means things like, "I'm worthless, I'm worthless, I'm worthless, I'm worthless." Right? I apologize, Lord. I receive my forgiveness from that. Now I forget about it. But in these types of situations, let's read on, okay? Jesus said, have faith in God. You mean God told him to say that? Yes. Yes. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's why you got to watch what you say. Amen? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now listen to this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, somebody say, same story. We're talking about the same story here, right? Same Jesus. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So Jesus was not holding any resentment toward those people, but he confronted it. Hallelujah. This should give us more light on what it means and what it does not mean. If somebody, especially somebody who doesn't know God very well, if they get offended at you because of your faith, we automatically start cowering, like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to cause them to not believe. I don't want to cause. Somebody say, shut yourself up. They're proud about whatever it is they're doing, however they're living. So don't back down. Do not back down and get apologetic because someone was offended at you for your faith, for something you did for God. And we don't need to brag about it and act all proud about things. But if somebody gets mad and disgruntled about something you said, all you can say, like the Lord gave me, I have nothing to add or subtract from what I said. I do not apologize. Why should you? Amen? Hallelujah. And at the same time, because believe me, there were opportunities for me in this situation to be offended at them. What could have came out of my mouth was, actually, for what I said, if that upset you, then I need you to apologize to me. Because that was almost on the tip of my tongue. But the Holy Ghost grabbed my tongue. You can't control other people. And me forgiving them has nothing to do with them asking for forgiveness. Nothing at all. A lot of people don't even realize what they're saying, what they're doing. So we just forgive them anyway. Why? So we stay in the flow. Hallelujah. Somebody say, forgive him anyway. And let me add this too. If there's somebody that you need to forgive, or maybe you did something to somebody years ago, there might be somebody that God puts in your heart you need to apologize to, right? When you're, especially Shelly and I, we've been married for a long time. And there's times I just say, Shelly, I apologize for what I just said. Did not mean that. I don't just glaze over it. Right? So quick to apologize. But whether she chooses to forgive me or not, that's her business. And she does. Right? We come to God, we receive our forgiveness, but if somebody out there, for example, decides they just don't like you and they're never going to forgive you, right? For whatever you did or they perceive that you did, it does not mean you're not forgiven, because you first and foremost, you go to God. And if there's something literally there, you just say, Father, you know what? Years ago, I had a guy, for example, in the ministry that said he was so convicted in his heart about something he did. Like, he's been married for decades, but this girlfriend he had, like when he was a teenager, he actually tracked her down to apologize to her. I was like, dude, no. That is so weird, brother. Don't. No. Right? So we don't have to get all, I have to get myself forgiven of every sin I've ever done and everyone I've ever sinned against to make a list and start calling people. And because if they don't forgive me, I'm not forgiven. No, no, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. Somebody say, go to your Father and get freed. And then listen to the Holy Spirit. If there's somebody that I need to go apologize to for something I did or said, do it. But don't let it just hang over. Amen? Somebody say, I forgive. And I receive my forgiveness today. And we'll wrap it up there today. We'll come back to this outline. So why don't we all stand up on our feet and just thank the Lord for his word to us today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Glory, 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 glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the example that Jesus set for us in walking in forgiveness and yet not cowering to the devil's trash and lies. We thank you, Lord, for the light of your word that confronts each one of us and shows us areas that we need to be more sensitive to you in our own hearts. And we just take a moment right now to search our own heart and to say, Father, is there anything that I just need to bring before you and be washed? Just take a moment and check your own heart. Hallelujah. Just say, I forgive. Now just take a moment. And Father, if there's anyone that we've held captive in our own hearts, that you would show us that and just give us the image of opening the prison door and releasing that offense or that unforgiveness. Take a moment and search your heart for that too. Could even be people that aren't even alive on the planet anymore. Just take a moment. Hallelujah. For myself, I can say as we close in prayer that the person that I often need to forgive the most is myself. That's the hardest one for me. But right now, we just make a statement. If that's you too or someone listening later and you'll be like, you know what, I just can't forgive myself for what I said back there, what I did. Just say this after me. Just say, Father God, I forgive myself. I forgive myself of that sin. And I receive my cleansing of the blood. I will not bring it up anymore. I will not meditate on it anymore. I will not hold myself captive in guilt, condemnation. I confront the condemnation with the light of God's word. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me and set me free. And I'm going to stay in that continual flow of forgiveness every single day. And maybe finally, as we close this morning, you're thinking about that first part of the message where I talked about Andrew Womack's salvation experience, my own salvation experience. Maybe you can't think of a time where you chose Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Well, this is that day. This is that moment. Just, I want us all to pray this out loud because someone may be listening that is praying this for the very first time. Just say, Father God, I give you my life. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I confront the sin in my own life. I judge it. I receive forgiveness for every sin. I receive Jesus Christ and his sacrifice made for me on the cross and his resurrection, that I died with him on the cross, my sins died with him on the cross, and I rose again free with him. and I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence of praying in other tongues. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.